Welcome to Showdown. I am Mark Kaysen, and this is Thursday, March 4th. Sorry, April 4th. Where am I? Well, it's so cold out, I guess I just was having a difficult time there for a moment, getting my arms around this cold wind. It's terrible. And normally I wouldn't even care, but it's just really bad for baseball. And that's what's going on right now, the Cardinals home opener. And at the moment, ahead 1-0. And that's sort of interesting against a team which has clearly not done well. I didn't realize that the Marlins had started off 0-7. Wow. Well, let's hope they're 0-8 after today. And if they want warm weather to play in, I can tell you right now, they haven't got it because it is cold and windy. And I know there's, you know, the one home run from Ivan Herrera. And, you know, Lance Lynn is pitching. And I've been happy that Lance Lynn came back. That I thought that was a good move. I'm really glad he's back. And let's hope that he's the old Lance Lynn. But we still need more pitching because poor Sonny Gray is not back yet. He's hurt. And even when he gets back, I'm not sure that we've got enough on the pitching side right now. But we're going to find out, and we're certainly going to see if we can beat an 0-7 team today. Because if we can't do that, then I guess we've got the same problems. I thought maybe yesterday we'd get ourselves over 500. But see, that's another thing. When you've got a team that's struggling all year to get over 500, it sort of ends up like last year where things fall apart rapidly. Baseball. Baseball's great. Anyway, 314-471-1968. That's the phone number that you can call here if you would like to talk to me on the air. 314-471-1968, and if you call in, I'll grab that on the phone here, and my friend Joe in the other room will get you all set up where we can hear you, and that should work. So we're going to try that again. We did try it a couple of days ago. It worked fine. So again, that's the deal. You can call in. It's on the screen. 314-471-1968. A lot of anniversaries here. One is a commemoration and one is a memorial. And the first thing that is probably worth talking about is Martin Luther King. You know, the death of Martin Luther King and the famous speech that was given by Bobby Kennedy in the wake of Martin Luther King's death. And then, of course, just a short time later, Bobby Kennedy ended up shot. So, yeah, that was a tough time 55 years ago. And here we are trying to still find a way to do something about the racial animus that dominates this country. And, you know, when Vic was here yesterday, we did talk about this. And I know that there's a belief on the right that we don't have widespread racial animus in this country. But I think we do. And I think that the attempts to first, stop people from reading books by black authors. That's a problem. And I know people say, well, it's not black. Well, if it's not black, why are all these people that are being pointed to black? They're black. Toni Morrison's black. Hank Aaron, and Roberto Clemente are black. And there's not even a reason for them. I mean, I understand there's some kind of sexualization story going on out here. And I say story, and I say it in a way that clearly identifies the fact that I think it's fake. It's fake. Because the real issue is what I said yesterday. It's Willie Horton. That's what this is. DEI. We've got to stop diversity, equity, and inclusion. At all costs, we must stop it. Diversity, that is the idea of having different groups of people participating in all of the activities of our country. Equity, people be treated fairly and equally under the law. And inclusion, that everybody that's here be included in our system to the best of our ability. You tell me what is wrong with that. Well, we know that our attorney general here in Missouri thinks there's something very wrong with it. In fact, he has pointed to DEI as the reason for the fight that has become pretty well known at Hazelwood East High School. And honestly, you're going to blame a fight between two kids on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and then start making up new acronyms for, you know, what it means. Come on. We all know what's going on here. There is black hatred in this country. There is hatred for people who are different. Donald made it very clear when he told us, and he said it very explicitly, that people who are coming here, immigrants from Africa, are poisoning the blood of America, using the exact words that were picked by Adolf Hitler. And then saying, and this is his favorite thing, well, I never knew that Hitler ever said that. Okay, but he knew it after everybody told him. And then he doubled down and tripled down on it, continued to say the same thing. But he didn't know that it was Hitler. John Kelly said that Donald admires Hitler. They worked together in the White House Oval Office. And then, of course, Donald's wife, ex-wife. So that was where some people maybe thought, well, there could be bad blood between them, but apparently not, but maybe, who knows. In any event, she said that Donald would read the speeches of Adolf Hitler before he went to sleep at night. So it's not just one person saying it either. And he uses Hitler's language often and repeatedly. So what are we talking about here? And it's being used against black people at the same time that this guy is saying, oh, I'm the least racist person in the world. Come on. We know better. We know absolutely better. Donald Trump is not the least racist person in the world. And in fact, all the way back 40 years ago, Donald and his father refused to allow black people to get into their apartments. He got in trouble for it. Had to pay a fine. You know, Donald, he's not what he tells you he is. Although he also tells you how horrible he is, all this anti-immigrant business. And that brings up this point. You know, first of all, if Martin Luther King were here right now, I think he would be powerfully despondent over what's going on 50 plus years after he was murdered. When he talked about going to the promised land, I assure you, he didn't envision this. But let's even get beyond the commemoration, the memorial, and let's talk about that statue that's out in New York Harbor. Because that statue has a little thing on it that says, "Give us your tired, your poor and tired, huddled masses yearning to be free." Now, if we don't believe it, I know it's not a law, but if we don't believe it, take down the statue. If that's not what we're doing here, then take it down. Let's not pretend. Let's just tell them. Not wanted. And I know that people on the right hear me talking about this immigrant situation, and they're horrified. They think that's insane. And they actually believe that everybody on the left just wants to open the gates and bring everyone on in. And I'm going to tell you, I wish that we would open the gates and let everybody all over the world, let them come into the United States, because the reason they come is because they want to do better in life. They want to take care of their families. They want to live free. I mean, these are all great reasons why people come here. Now, I know that Donald says that they're murderers and rapists and a couple of good people. But here's the deal. There's research on everything. And we have research on immigrants. And we know for an absolute fact that the immigrants who come over here get in less trouble than the people who live in the United States. Now, I understand, Ruby Garcia is not that story. She ended up dead. Of course, Donald lied about that one, said he talked to Ruby Garcia's family, and Ruby Garcia's family said, never happened, wasn't true. So then I guess Donald claimed that, well, I spoke to the gardener or something, and that's sort of like the family. I mean, some nonsense. He did not speak to the family. The family said it never happened. But Donald always lies, so don't worry. And that's one of the things I've always said about him. You don't even have to investigate. Just assume that everything he says is a lie, and you will be correct. I have never found a situation in which he did not lie. He always lies. Just like, for example, right now he's saying that he's got this big plan, what he's going to do about abortion. He'll tell us in a week or two, which is exactly what he said about health care, about infrastructure. In fact, about everything. It's always a week or two, and he'll tell us. And then he forgets to tell anybody anything. I guarantee you, he has forgotten a lot about what this country is supposed to be doing. Perhaps he never knew. That's not an excuse. If you're elected president of the United States, you better find out pretty fast. And if you don't and you can't, then you certainly don't need to be elected again. And he won't be. He won't be. I agree that if Donald had control of the immigration issue, if it were on his side, he could probably win, because people hate immigrants. And that's a shame. And when I say that that's true. I'll tell you that my family, they're on the side, they're anti-immigrant. Now they'll say, well, not exactly anti-immigrant, just legal immigration. Well, come on. That's a story in itself. Because if we wanted, those things happen. If we wanted these people to be legal, we'd just say, okay, come on in. You're legal. And what we're going to do is not just let them walk across the border and go wherever they want. We're going to vet them. We're going to put them in a set of circumstances down at the border where they're going to get mentors. You know, the Peace Corps. We've done this before. We know what the Peace Corps is. Now, I've told the story of what we did with the Okies when they came out of the Midwest during the Depression, and people then say to me, oh, but they're Americans. Well, guess what? They were hated. They were truly despised, and they were murdered. And the United States government brought these people together and found ways to get them jobs, to help them to fit into our society, which they weren't doing very well. And especially, I mean, in California, where they were pouring in, the Californians did not want these people there. Americans or not, they didn't want them. But you know what? We worked it out in a very smart way, and we helped these people to become very productive, and we helped them to overcome all the animus against them. And, you know, the Irish were hated at one time. So there's an example. And the Chinese were hated when they originally came here. There's an example. You know, so we know that this isn't the first time that we've gone through this sort of thing, but we also know that there's a way to fix it. And I always say, you take 1,000 to start, young people, send them down to the border and have them be Peace Corps members. Call it Peace Corps. Call it whatever you want. But basically, they're Peace Corps. Send them down and they can be mentors. And when the people come across the border, you'd have the young high school graduates that could go down and be mentors and help them to figure out how to learn English, figure out how to get all the identity cards that they need so that they can work. Do you know how excellent the situation would be if we did this? And eventually, we could have 1 million of these young people down at the border, just bringing everybody in and helping them to fit into this country. Do you know how they would feel about being treated like that? I mean, they would feel welcome and coming here in order to try to have a better life. They would think, wow, we came to the right place. Maybe this will be a better life. Maybe they'll get to work. Maybe they'll get eventually to fit in. And maybe they'll help to grow the United States in a positive way. Now, I know, for example, that people out here, again, I was listening yesterday to Vic because I knew it was coming on the air, and they were talking about all these people who are coming in without, first of all, coming in as illegals and voting. It's not true. It is not true. Illegal people that come in here are not voting. Every secretary of state in every state in America says that's not happening. But look, there's so many things that are said that are so untrue. So let me throw this one in as well. Vic and I were talking about talked about a lot of things. But we're talking about the people, you know, come in here, how they behave, you know, the lack of these ID cards. Yeah, that's, you know, something that people are saying. But he also said that Joe Biden was sniffing kids. First of all, I don't even know what that means. That is so ridiculous. But let me add to this. I sent Vic an article from the Associated Press. And if the Associated Press is not a credible news source, I don't know what is. And I sent him this article from the Associated Press, and they said that they had fact-checked this, and they found that there was no sniffing. In fact, that the sniffing was added in to the video by people who were just trying to tell this story about Joe Biden sniffing. It just wasn't true. It wasn't even in the video in the first place. You got to be careful. You got to be careful what you believe. People just make things up. I'm not saying Vic made it up. I'm sure he saw the video with some sniffing, whatever that is. I mean, really, it's just so ridiculous. It's just beyond ridiculous. But in fact, it's also not true. Never happened. Never. There was no sniffing. Somebody got a hold of a video and put in some sniffing and then claims that this is what the president does, that he's a pedophile or whatever, and then it spreads everywhere. Why don't we simply let these people in across the border, stop making up stories about our public officials that aren't true, and stop making up things about the immigrants as well? Because the research is so plain. These people come here trying to better themselves, and by and large, they cause no problems at all. None. Now, sure, if you make it difficult for them and you try to create a problem, you'll have one. But these people just want to work. You know, if you're going to make up stories about what anecdotes you've got on a bad immigrant, then why don't we just do the opposite and talk about the six immigrants who died on the bridge in Baltimore? Why don't we talk about them? I mean, they were up there working hard, trying to fix the bridge. They were doing the right thing. Immigrants. And they died for no reason, except for somebody just accidentally smacked into a bridge. They didn't deserve that. And so, Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about how good people can end up in really bad situations having done nothing wrong? Instead, we want to go and find this one guy who killed Ruby Garcia and then make up all these stories about Donald talking to the family and all the rest of this, and this man is a killer. Well, he was a killer. He did. And what about all the killers that we have in this country running around with 320 million guns in a country with 320 million people claiming that there's something called the Second Amendment that gives them the right to a gun, when we know for a fact that that has nothing to do with people having the right to a gun? It doesn't say in there one word about a person having a right to a gun. Nothing. Zero. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And from that, they come up with the idea that you have a right to a gun. Now, I know that in the First Amendment, we said, Congress shall make no laws. And then we spelled out what those things were that Congress couldn't do. And you mean to tell me that those same people who were right there coming up with the Bill of Rights, that those people couldn't come up with something like Congress shall make no laws preventing you from having a gun? Couldn't say that, could they? No, they had to go into this whole thing about a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. We know the President of the United States is the commander-in-chief of the militia. If you don't think that's true, go look at Article 2, Section 2. It's there. Instead, they come up with this story that you have a right to a gun in your house, or you have a right to walk down the street with a gun in a holster. Really? Based on what? On a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state? Are you serious? I've already said you can go pick up a book by Saul Cornell, and not just that book. He's written a lot about this. He is an expert in the history of the Second Amendment, and he makes it very clear in all that he has written that the things that we've come up with are just not true with regard to people having a right to have a gun. It's just not true. None of it's true. You haven't got the right to a gun. However, you've acquired the right to a gun from the Supreme Court. That is true. Because if the amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, if that's what it says, and if the Supreme Court concludes that that means that you can have a tank in your front yard, if you got 5 votes for that, then it's true. But we know it's not true. Oh, well, I guess it's the same as Joe Biden sniffing kids. Yeah, just make it up. Make it up. Kellyanne Conway said, there are alternative facts. And the people in this country with educations said, no, there cannot be alternative facts. There are the facts, and then there are the things that aren't true. Can't be alternative facts unless you're talking about Back to the Future, and then you're looking at that sports score book that you gotta put in the trash can and burn like they did, like Michael J. Fox did in the movie. Because honestly, I don't know what people are talking about. They just make things up. Make it up. Doesn't have to be true. Just make it up. And then turn around and point to the media and say that the media is fake. The media is fake. Well, that's great. Then you don't have to believe the Associated Press when they say that that video was completely doctored and that there was nothing on it when it was first developed. When they took the video and people listened, there was nothing there. Suddenly, they come up with this sniffing business. There is no sniffing. There never was any sniffing. You can make it up. You can say that you went to see Ruby Garcia's parents. And when the parents say it never happened, you can call them liars. You can also talk about poisoning the blood of America when black people come here. You can do that. That's what Donald has done. And people just blow it off. They ignore it. Doesn't mean anything. But let me also say this. There's an election coming in November. And all of these people out here who are talking about all of these black voters that are going to vote for Trump, and I've been through this before, in 16 and in 20. And in both of those cases, on the air, I have said black voters are going to vote less than 10% for Donald Trump. And in each case, that's what happened. And now here we are, third time, and I'm going to tell you the same thing. And we're going to know in November, less than 10% of black voters are going to vote for Donald Trump. Less than 10%. That's the way the numbers work out normally. It's the way it's going to work out now. I mean, you could sit here and talk up a storm about how black people love you, but you know what? Black people are not stupid. I mean, you tell black people that I am the best person in the history of the United States for you and say sometimes, I'm better than Lincoln. Well, we can argue about Lincoln. That's true. But we can't argue about Trump. We know. And that's why the scholars that vote on the best and worst presidents every single year have voted Donald Trump dead last among presidents in American history. Every one of them, 150 of these scholars, I guess they've all got Trump derangement syndrome. Is that it? They're all sick. Dr. John Gartner. Yesterday, he came out from Johns Hopkins Medical Center. He's been there 28 years. He's a psychologist. And he says that Donald is about to go off the cliff. I'm sure he is. And we'll talk next about some of those trials and where that puts us. You know, we have to get on the point here where we understand what's true and what's not true, and we find a way to have conversations about issues that affect the American people. We can do that. We need to do that. And we need to stop talking about sniffing that isn't true. The only sniffing is being done by German shepherd dogs. I think that's what Joe Biden had. He had a German shepherd, and that dog may have been sniffing. Dogs sniff. Joe Biden doesn't. However, one thing we all do is we eat, and we love to eat good. So the place to go is Wendy's. And here's the deal on Wendy's. And I learned this last night. I mean, first, I know that the food is great. I know the smoked meats. I heard about the smoked wings. I can tell you they've got pizza. They've got patty melts. They've got baby back ribs and onion rings, all kinds of great food that I love. And they're at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in Chesterfield Valley. They are great. You can't go wrong eating at Wendy's. You really can't. Great food, great people. Ben is there all the time. You drop in, go say hello. I guarantee you, you will not be unhappy eating at Wendy's. I don't care whether you're way on the left like me or way on the right like anybody else. Wendy's is great. The food is excellent. But what I learned that's new about Wendy's is they're about to open up a second Wendy's in Defiance, Missouri. I like that, Defiance. I'm defiant. Okay, Wendy's is the place to get great food. Now, if you're looking for great jewelry, you're going to go to 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, and you're going to find Al and his son, AJ, and they do everything with jewelry. First of all, they buy and sell jewelry and coins, and the prices are really good for the consumer that comes into the Jewels on Hampton store. Also, they create their own designs for jewelry. Or, for example, you go in and you bring them the jewels and you tell them what you want and they'll make it exactly the way you ask for it. They do great work. This is a great place to go if you're doing business with jewels, with jewelry. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And don't forget, one of my favorite things, they fix watches. I love my 45-year-old watch. And believe me, you've got to have a place that can fix your watch if you've got a good one and you want to keep it. And mine's a good one and I love it and I like it fixed. And that's the answer. You've got to have a great place to do that. Jewels on Hampton is the place to go for watch repair as well. 4506 Hampton, that's Jewels on Hampton. And finally, I'm in here today with my yellow shirt and tie. Now, I'm pretty good with colors when I'm simply following instructions. And I do follow instructions because I am colorblind. I promise you that. There are a lot of things that I know, and colors would not be one. I'm not good with colors, so all I can tell you is this is all yellow, and I can tell that this tie is a different kind of yellow than my shirt, but I've been told it's okay. It fits in really nicely, and then there's apparently some blue and gray in there too. Anyway, whatever it is, they will tell you, if you're colorblind, at the St. Louis Suit Company, how to match everything up. And they'll help you match things. They'll get you ties at great prices, $5 a tie. Those ties have been $5 for 29 years. They're not going up, I don't think. But anyway, they haven't yet. And they are great ties, silk ties. They look terrific. They look like $50, which is what you'd have to pay if you went to Donald, who will charge you enormous prices, then choke you with the ties, and then end up in a lawsuit somewhere where he has to pay millions because he can't tell the truth. But that's not your problem at St. Louis Suit Company. They always tell the truth. Corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton, that is the St. Louis Suit Company. I love them, and we're happy that, like our other advertisers, they love us. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. So let's talk about the trials a little bit, and then we're going to finish up with NATO. So first of all, Aileen Cannon has got herself in a lot of trouble. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago, and a lot of people have been wondering when Jack Smith would wake up and say, enough's enough. You can't keep doing this to us. And when I say it that way, let me assure you, the 11th Circuit is very conservative. So when you go to 11th Circuit and you say that you're not being treated fairly, and they say, you're right, well, then it's important for you to understand that you've gotten that affirmation from the most conservative group of people that you could find in the judiciary in this country. These are very conservative judges who keep telling us that Aileen Cannon is wrong. They came down on her very tough twice already for not knowing what she's doing or for intentionally trying to work the trial in favor of Donald, one or the other. But guess what? She's doing it again. And everyone knows, certainly in the legal profession, that when this lady tells you that Donald can come back in a month or so when they're working on the jury, and then he can submit once more his briefs for why he thinks the case should be dismissed. And at that point, she says, she will reconsider. So she's inviting him to come back with the briefs explaining why the case should be dismissed, and she'll look at it once the jury is being impaneled. Now, everybody knows that at that point, if Aileen Cannon were to say, case dismissed, double jeopardy would attach, and it would be the end of the story.
Hi, I'm Anna.
Yeah, that's okay. Listen, we got people out here who are trying to get us, but that's all right. You know, that might have been Aileen Cannon herself. I'm not sure. I'll have to listen to that again next time. But at any rate, the deal is she has invited Trump's attorneys, to resubmit the request for the case to be dismissed once the jury is being impaneled, and then double jeopardy attaches. She can say dismissed, and everybody walks away, and Donald is free and clear in Florida. And look, we know that Donald took home documents. In fact, he took home many documents, including nuclear secrets. We also know that Donald invited the Russians into the Oval Office, showed them secret information, and they all high-fived each other in the Oval Office together. And we know because we saw the film from the Russian journalists who were allowed into the Oval Office because the Americans were not. Now you figure that one out. Whatever the answer is, it's not good. I can assure you, it's not good. But at any rate, Donald took home these papers. So did Joe Biden. Of course, it's been said that Joe Biden's weren't all that significant. But nevertheless, forget all that. Let's just say they both took home papers. And so did Mike Pence. And this has happened before. This is not all that unusual. Here's what's unusual. When the FBI says, give us the papers, they're not yours. When the FBI says that, it's very simple. You are supposed to respond properly to the FBI. You don't play around with the FBI. You don't lie to the FBI. You don't tell your people to flood that room where the documents are so the FBI can't find them. You don't tell people to hide the documents. See, you don't do any of that. Because if you do, you go to jail. Joe Biden didn't hide anything. He turned everything over immediately and said, I'm sorry. Mike Pence turned over everything immediately and said, I'm sorry. Donald Trump didn't want to give anything back and has been running around the country screaming that they are his papers. Well, you know what? If they were his papers, you still have to respond honestly, truthfully to the FBI. If you don't, you will go to jail. And a lot of people out here are wondering why Donald hasn't gone to jail. Why isn't he in pre-trial detention? They feel, many, I sure do, that that's where he should be. Prior to the trial, he should be detained. He is a dangerous person for people in the United States. Okay, we're not doing that yet. Yet. But it may come to it, because I can assure you there is a gag order in place in the first trial that's coming up. You can't talk against members of the court, except the judge. You can't talk about the families. That includes the judge's family. You can't talk about the prosecutor's family. You can't do any of that. But you know, first of all, Donald already has done it. He's violated the gag order already. A lot of people are waiting around to see if the judge is going to respond to that. But if he continues to violate this order, I assure you, Judge Mershon will put Donald in jail. He's going to jail. He's going to jail anyway. Believe me, again, this trial has enough evidence based on the allegations that we've seen. There's evidence, lots of it, that the jury is going to find compelling, and they're going to convict him. Now, Donald has asked that the evidence be blocked. And today, Judge Mershon said, heck no, we're not blocking this evidence. This evidence is going in. Donald says it can't go in because some theory that they've got under the Presidential Papers Act is supposed to be definitive in making his case that these papers have got to be withheld from evidence. The judge says, no, the evidence is going in. And one of the things that I have always thought is, if you're running around trying to block the evidence, I mean, it might work. You might get something out of it. Because if the jury doesn't know the evidence, then that will help you for sure. The question is somebody who's trying to block the evidence, are they likely to be innocent or guilty in your mind? I mean, in my mind, I say that if you're trying to block the evidence, you could say, well, under a certain law, you don't have a right to put that evidence in. And under certain circumstances, it might be true. And if it is true, then the evidence has to be withheld. If the judge says, hold it back, that's fine. But if the evidence does not exonerate you, and all you're doing is trying to block the evidence that actually would convict you, then you explain to me, what are we talking about? So all I'm trying to tell you is, this guy wants to block the evidence. Why? Why doesn't he want us to know what actually took place? I've been in a trial before. I know about this game that goes on. I know about the attempts to block evidence. I mean, it might be legal to do it, but it doesn't mean that you're totally clean. It doesn't mean that you're innocent. It just means if you can block the evidence, it might help you, but it doesn't mean that you didn't do something wrong. You know, we have something in the United States called the exclusionary rule, and what that means is if the government acquires evidence against you in a criminal situation, then that evidence has to be withheld from the court. And that's to protect your rights. But it doesn't mean that you didn't do what was alleged. It just means that the government can't use it to hurt you because they got it illegally. So then you can say, okay, there's two things going on here. Number one is the truth, which is maybe you're a bad person and you did the things that are alleged. And the other thing is that if the government broke the rules, then they can't use it against you. That's our system. And that's good. The government should not be allowed to use information that can harm you that they receive illegally. Because if we allow that, before we're done, the government will be coming up with information against everybody. Some of it true, some of it not. Yet we can't do that. And you can't beat people to get information. You can't torture them. If you get it the right way, then you can use it in trial. But the truth is still the truth. If you did it and the evidence has to be excluded, well, you still did it. You might get away. You might be able to walk, but it doesn't mean that you're clean. So it's important to make these distinctions, and often people don't. Often people don't understand. There are reasons for withholding evidence. But in the case in Manhattan right now, the judge has said, absolutely not. This is not a reason to exclude information, because all Donald wants is any information that finds, you know, that it's landing against him. Well, he wants that withheld. Judge says, no, this information has a right to be here and it's coming in. So that's one part of what's going on just today in Manhattan. Do people understand all this? Probably not. Do people go home tonight and pick up their copy of the New York Times or read it online and dig deep into these stories? You know that's not happening. Absolutely not. But it doesn't mean that Donald's free and clear. It doesn't mean that he hasn't done anything wrong. And it doesn't mean that the evidence isn't the evidence and that it has a right to be heard in the courtroom. We understand that Michael Cohen has lied. He has. But if he tells the truth, and if he is then backed up by corroborating information that's in documents, well, then it's the truth. If it's in the documents and he's lied before, that's okay. He lied before. But the documents can either corroborate his information or it could exonerate Donald Trump. Whichever it does, that's our system. Donald wants to block everything, delay the trial, and then convince the judge to land on his side. Well, sure. But three judges won't. Three judges in these cases will not. The fourth one will, and has done it repeatedly. Jack Smith has gone to the court and said, this is today, he said, if you don't stop this behavior, we're going right back to the 11th Circuit, where she has been dressed down repeatedly, twice before, very significantly, and the court really hit her hard. And here they're coming again. This is going to be all over again. So we're going to find out what the 11th Circuit has to say about Aileen Cannon's behavior. But at least Jack Smith stepped up and told her, here's what I'm going to do if you can't stop misbehaving in this case. And that's all it is. It is misbehavior. She's already been dressed down twice for it. Twice the courts have said, cut it out. So here she comes again. Third time. trying to find a way to dismiss this case with double jeopardy attached so that Donald Trump can't be tried. First off, it's not going to save him because there are three other cases, and it's only going to take one case for Donald to go to jail. And I can tell you right now, it's April the 15th coming right up. Donald Trump, I believe, no later than July 1st, will be convicted in this case. Probably get 2, 3, 4 years in jail. Honestly, if he gets one, that would be good enough. 1 year in jail for his criminal behavior. That'd be a great start. We've got three more cases behind it. And believe me, in all of these cases, crazy motions are being given to these judges. It's going on right now down in Georgia. Absolutely crazy. And Judge McAfee is not hearing it either. None of them are, except for Cannon. And she's going to have to answer to the 11th Circuit. So that's the story there. But that's where we are today on the trials. So with the few minutes we have left, I promised I wanted to say a few things about NATO, which is actually today commemorating 75 years of NATO. And honestly, we haven't had a world war through this whole period. Now, I understand, even as we are here tonight, that Vladimir Putin is again saying that he may have to use nuclear weapons against the United States because he says that we are coming down on the side of NATO against him in a way that is so unfair that he may have to obliterate us. Well, he knows he can't do it, and we know he can't do it. But he can certainly run off across Ukraine if we don't give Ukraine the weapons they need to defend themselves. And then next comes Poland. And I promise you that whether it's over Ukraine or whether it's over Poland, if we allow this to continue, we are going to end up in a world war. Vladimir Putin wants what he wants, which happens to be the same thing that Hitler wanted. Control of Europe. Now, I know when I had Eric Greitens in here, he said that he doesn't expect that Vladimir Putin will be marching into Paris. And that's probably correct, at least at this point. But you give Donald Trump the presidency of the United States so that he's able to end NATO, which he will. He says he will. I mean, believe him. The man says he's against NATO. If he says he's against NATO, I'm sure he's against NATO. Everybody who has worked with this guy says that if Donald gets his chance, when he tells you he's going to end NATO, he will end it. That is insane. I wish I could put up the map here, which I have, but anyway, forget that for a moment. But you need to look at the map of NATO in Europe. It is incredible. What Harry Truman accomplished in 1949, which is being talked about today all over the country with his grandson, nice guy, reflecting on the honor that is being given to his father, the president, or his grandfather, the president, who has done a tremendous amount to keep this world out of nuclear war. It has worked. It continues to work. Now, what are we going to do about Vladimir Putin? Are we going to stand here and allow him to rampage across Europe? Certainly no Democratic president will do it, and certainly Congress won't do it. but we'll see. Okay, that's it for tonight. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, hoping for good Cardinal results. See you tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Good night.